We're discovering Jesus through the Gospel of John. A lot of y'all are following us on Facebook, and this morning I'm all the way up to chapter 10 in Facebook, and I put that famous verse up that said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But here in person, live and in person, Pete, where we're up to is only chapter 1. So we're not going to get in a hurry about it. I see that the Kukars are back with their two beautiful kids, and they're going to sit in here and learn the Gospel of John with us, and amen and hallelujah. All right. Last week, we started in chapter 1, and I told you that the first 18 verses in John chapter 1 are the greatest words ever recorded in human history. But I'm telling you that if I start with John chapter 1, verse 1, I won't get further than about verse 4. It's just that rich. So listen, if you're listening by radio or internet, if this is all new to you, if you thought you were listening, getting ready to tune in to a Keith Urban. Is it Keith Urban? Yeah. Kenny Chesney. Tim McCraw. Who could leave out Garth Brooks? If that's what you thought you were coming to tune your radio to, you're listening to a Bible teacher. And if you can get your hands on a Bible, let me just encourage you to take the effort to get that Bible open to John chapter 1 and read these 18 verses, because I think the Holy Spirit will use those verses of Scripture to get you to want to read more. So anyway, we started in John chapter 1 and we got down to verse 10. And I'm going to just tell you straight up today that we're not going to get much further, because these verses that we're going to read today are going to illuminate and show you the difficulty that we've had trying to get people's mind renewed to the real truth of God's Word. How many of you can begin to understand and see that the devil is real good at playing religion? When you read John's Gospel, you're going to find out that the people that were constantly trying to kill Jesus, I mean, you know, I get my feelings hurt because I get persecuted because people talk bad about me. But I got to tell you, so far in my Christian walk, I haven't walked down the street or been in Fry's or Safeway or Walmart and somebody was going to throw a stone to kill me. And I'm telling you, Jesus had to duck stones. And you know who were throwing stones at him? Religious people. People that thought they knew God or thought that they had, you know, that they were in a position where they didn't want anybody coming along and taking them off of their hierarchy. It's just a fascinating thing to know that those are the people that persecuted the Lord Jesus. And not trying to put myself on that level, but really that's where we've gotten the most persecution, is because we've tried to introduce some concepts to people that the devil has brought in some theology through time, and I won't call it theology. He's brought in false doctrine that people have embraced, and we're trying to get you to understand that that's not how God is and that's not who he is. And I'm not just saying it. I'm going to show it to you from the holy, living Word of God. So our fundamental verse of Scripture that we're using in this lesson, it's a verse that will always bring persecution. Now, I said something last week, and I want to make sure I add another word to it. And this is the Lord Jesus speaking. And this is eternal life, or the God kind of life, God's life. And this is eternal life. What is it? That they may know you. Now, listen, I'm going to have you say some things with me. That they may know you. Say these next four words.
The only true God.
Now, I heard Teresa. I want to hear everybody. The only true God. That's going to bring persecution. That's going to bring persecution. Because Jesus Christ told us that the person that he represents, the person that did the works through him, was the only true God. If you've been living long enough, you understand there's all kinds of supposed gods. One of the things me and Teresa do is we watch Jeopardy. And we cheat when we play Jeopardy. Because, do you ever play Jeopardy? You don't ever do Jeopardy? You're too busy to play Jeopardy. Have you ever watched Jeopardy? Have you? Yeah, anyway, it's a question and answer show of trivia. Some of the questions are downright hard. But they always have, ever so often, they always have a category about mythology and all the different gods in mythology. How many of you know they're made-up gods? Now, some of you, I got to fix this. So somebody's saying, how in the world do you cheat at Jeopardy? Well, we started watching it during the pandemic, you know, where they locked us away and tried to ruin our lives. Can I get an amen? Our kids, it'll be a long time before a lot of our kids recover from that nonsense. But anyway, during that pandemic, we started watching Jeopardy, and we started watching it, and the questions would come so fast, and you had to answer them so fast, that we were happy if we got like three right. Now, I'm going to tell something on James Taylor back there. He came to our house one day and watched Jeopardy with us, and I am not lying. That boy answered every question on the board but about two. And I told him that I would sponsor him to go to California and get on Jeopardy. But so far he hadn't taken me up on it. And I told him the other thing is if there was some way that I could represent him and I could have his voice in my ear. Anyway, so we got so tired because what we found out, I know I'm spending some time on this, but I want you to understand that how I cheated. And we didn't really cheat. We're just having family fun. How many of you know that's a good way to have family fun? So anyway, what we decided to do, because we found out that a lot of times we knew the answer, but we didn't have time to answer them because you only got boom. So we just started stopping when the question came up to study it. And every now and then we'll actually Google. We'll actually Google the answer. And I am so proud of sometimes that I'll be able to say, well, I know what that, anyway. But it's amazing how much stuff she really knows. No, it is. It's amazing. But anyway, so they always have a category about all these fake, false gods that are made up. And so, and then, of course, there's all kinds of religions, and they have gods that they want you to worship. Jesus Christ comes along and says, there's only one true God, and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Now, let me say this to you. If he just said this and didn't prove it, we wouldn't pay a bit of attention to it. But he said it, and then he proved it because everything he said about God came to pass, and God raised him from the dead, and Jesus Christ verified that the only true God was the God that was in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? So anyway, last week, I said that this will always bring persecution because this is exclusive. But I wanted to make sure I get another word in, because I've said this before too. It's also inclusive, because it's exclusive in that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. We put that verse up, 14:6. We better put it up one more time real quick. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everybody say, no one. No. Oh, that makes people mad. You can only say this about God. See, some people think they're God's gift to mankind. Some men think they're God's gift to women. Some women think they're God's gift to man. But there's only one. He's the one. And no one comes to the Father through the Lord. So that's exclusive. But here's the inclusive part. And let's go ahead and put this up in John chapter 3. Here's the inclusive part. John 3:16, and we'll get there probably by Christmas. It's exclusive that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by him. But it's inclusive in that it's available to everybody. From every country. From every race. Can I get an amen? From every religion. Oh, from every social economic background. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, it's exclusive, but it's inclusive, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Notice all this is, you know what John 3:16 is? It's just a twin verse of John 17:3, because Jesus and God the Father are included in receiving eternal life. See that? So John 17, 3, that's going to be our verse that we're going to spring from. And this is eternal life. And again, I said this last week. I want to say it again. I know I got kids, young adults in here. They're at youth camp with me this week or forever. And I've got other folk in here that's not quite considered young. But this is a real easy verse to memorize. And the reason I'm encouraging you to do that is because if you can get this memorized, sometimes you can just lay at bed at night and just memorize it and know that verse from memorization and just quote that verse before you go to sleep and say, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." I mean, in fact, if I wanted to, I could have y'all have that memorized today. Maybe we'll have a Sunday where I call on you to see if you want to come up and say that verse out loud. And I'll lose every one of you for doing that. So, amen. All right, everybody cool? All right, so John 1:10, we read the first nine verses. We actually read these verses last week, but I want to start here and begin to tell you the challenge that we've had getting people to understand these concepts. And it also demonstrates, in my personal opinion, it also demonstrates that people aren't really studying the Word of God for themselves. They're not really evaluating and studying it and breaking it down for themselves, or they wouldn't fall for some of the false doctrines that the Christian church is trying to put on people. So here's the first one. He was in the world. See, again, if I start talking about John 1:1, the He that was in the world is the God, the Creator. He was in the world, and it tells you right here, and the world was made through Him. Let me just review, make sure everybody's got it. We don't need to be in a hurry. Let me just review. Remember Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. John used Genesis 1:1 as a parallel scriptures to identify that he's placing Jesus Christ at creation. That's what he did. He wanted to place Jesus Christ at creation, because one of the false doctrines that had already started, and that's why John wrote his gospel last, was that Jesus wasn't God in the flesh, and Jesus is and was God manifested in the flesh. So when you go to Genesis 1:1, and it says that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, you'll notice, and I won't turn there because of time, but you're familiar with this, you'll notice that God said, the first things he said was, "Let there be light." Remember that? Let there be light. Man, you know, he said that, you know, they can't find an end to light. Light's never ending. They can't find an end to the universe because God said, "Let there be light." They just found a whole nother galaxy. I put the pictures up last week. But when he said, "Let there be light," when God said, "Let there be light," God the Father spoke that through God the Son. Or God the Word. It's Logos, the Word of God. God the Word spoke what God the Father said. I mean, or what God the Father wanted to say, he spoke through God the Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know that's why some people kind of stay away with us. It's like, man, I use my brain all week. I don't need to use it on Sunday. Use it on Sunday and relax a little bit the rest of the week. Amen. When God the Father pictured it, God the Word spoke it, and then God the Holy Spirit performed it. See? And that's what it means here when he says, he was in the world. Now listen to this. And the world was made through him. See? See, one other thing. Let me make sure you understand this. You see, Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ had a beginning. Let me make sure you understand this. The body that Jesus Christ walked around in had a beginning. It began when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and planted the seed of God in her womb. She was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and of course, in 9 months' time, she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, remember? Because there was no room for him in the inn. So then the angel Gabriel had appeared and told, did he tell Joseph to name him Jesus? Or did he tell Mary? I think he told Joseph to name him Jesus. Anyway, he told one of them to name him Jesus. And so when he was brought to be circumcised on the eighth day, he was given the name Jesus. So Jesus, the person of Jesus, had a beginning in the womb of Mary. But the word or the seed that was planted in Mary had no beginning of days or ending of life. He was the eternal, pre-existent, almighty creator of the universe. Amen. Boy, wouldn't you like for these to be Jeopardy questions? I could show them some answers. Amen. You see that? Isn't that beautiful? See, that's why this is the greatest story ever told. And this is why I'm so motivated to continue to tell the story, because it breaks my heart to think that there's living, breathing human beings who've never been told this, that their Creator was manifested in the flesh. He was given the name Jesus. Can I go a little further with you? I told you what God's doing in this. He's just using the stuff that He's taught me all this time to tell you these things. Let me take it a little further. Let me tell you the main sacrifice He had to make. But once He took on the body that contained His spirit, because we are spirits, once He took on the body that contained His spirits, He could never be without His body. Because He became the God-man, fully God and fully man. That's the reason why, if you read the Gospels, you'll find out that when we get to John chapter 4, He had gone 30 miles to walk to Samaria, and the Bible says that being wearied from His journey, He sat down because He had a physical body. That's the reason why when He went to that fig tree to see if it had figs on it, the reason He went to that fig tree to see if it had figs on it was because He was hungry. How do you handle a hungry man? Because His body needed food. If He walked 30 miles, He got tired. Because He became the second Adam. He became God manifested in the flesh so that He could undo what the first Adam did wrong. And He will always be encased in that body. But I got great news for you. The body He has now is a glorified body. And so walls don't stop Him. Time doesn't stop Him. He's not tired anymore. He don't have to worry about being tired anymore. He's not hungry anymore. He's got the bread of God, the life of God in Him. And He sits at God's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. And the book of Hebrews declares that after He was raised from the dead and picked up this glorified, resurrected body, that He went into heaven itself and God coronated Him and announced to everybody and to all the angels that this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And He said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies, or until I make my enemies your footstool or something. You know. Anyway, you get the point. And we're going to talk about why that's been a process. Does everybody see that? You understand how amazing that is? Do you understand why every church that believes this stuff ought to be packed to the rafters with people wanting to hear it? Instead of coming to church to play religious games and to sing kumbaya, and to talk about, well, you just don't ever know what God's going to do. It's all a mystery. No, it's not a mystery. The mystery is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then He said this, and I got to go on, but you know what else He said? The works that I do, you'll do also, because I go to my Father, because I am the resurrected King of kings and Lord of lords, because I defeated death. I defeated the devil. I have the keys of hell and death. Therefore, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I got all that out of one verse. Going to take a long time, isn't it? He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. There it is. There's been a disconnect. Something has happened that separated our Creator, that has separated the Creator from the creature. And let's show you a picture of that real quick in Genesis chapter 1. I do have to show you that. Genesis chapter 1, and it happens after the fall of man, when he lost contact with the God of creation. Oh, it's a sad chapter in the Bible. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. We'll pick it up in verse 7. Genesis 3, verse 7. They've transgressed, and something's changed. God used to come down and talk to them in the cool of the day, and talk to them about things in the cool of the day. Verse 7, then after they've transgressed, after they've disobeyed God and did what they weren't supposed to do, after the devil stole what belonged to them, after the devil stole their authority, stole their power. See, Adam and Eve were the original gods of this world. God put everything under their control, under their dominion, and they were supposed to pass it on to their seed. And we were supposed to have control and dominion. In love, not in a way where we're binding up people, but in love, we were supposed to be in charge of everything God made. We were to subdue it and control it and conquer it. Can I get an amen? But then it says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Verse 8, listen to this now. Verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God. Now watch this now. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world didn't know him. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now listen, watch this now. And this is another lie. This is another religious lie that's told about God. And that is that God is staying away from us. No. No, God's not staying away from us. We're staying away from Him. Every now and then it wouldn't hurt my feelings at all to hear a sporadic amen out in the congregation. So who's running from who? What's going on here? Now, the other thing you got to know, and you learn this in the epistles, and you learn this in the gospel and through John's gospel, the person that's walking in the garden in the cool of the day is love. God is love. There's no evil in him. There's nothing in him that wants to do harm to anybody. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of love because their nature had changed. They didn't want to be around God because they knew they didn't qualify. They knew they weren't worthy to be with him. And they hid themselves. And they hid themselves. Listen to this. And his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then verse 9 and 10, and then we're going to pick it up. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, oh, listen to these words. By the way, who's involved here? Who's here? Who's walking in these? Who's down there? God the Son, God the Word, who became Jesus in the flesh. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? You know, that's what he's doing today. That's what he's doing today. See, religion wants you to make it think God's hiding from you and running from you. No, he's saying, where are you? Where are you? Verse 10, so he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. I could spend the whole rest of the sermon explaining to you the transfer that took place in the garden. Adam substituted love for hate. Faith for fear. Amen. Amen. That's what happened. His nature changed. He has two boys. One of them's Cain, one of them's Abel. And Cain kills Abel, the first murderer on the earth. And mankind is plunged into darkness, separated from God. But God, Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. See that? So did he take his bone glove and go home? Did he say, forget it, I'll just start over. I'll create another bunch of folk. Is that what he did? No. Verse 11, I'm going to get somewhere. Verse 11, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He came to the Jewish people. He came to the seed of Abraham because that's what he told him he would do. He told Abraham, if you'll follow me, I'll make you a great nation, and I'll make your descendants as the sand on the sea and as the stars in the sky. He came to those people, and they didn't receive him. Verse 12, and I want to live here for a little bit because I want to show you something. But, how many of you are so glad for that but right there? B-U-T. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the privilege or the authority, see, to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Now let's stop here a minute. Let's say that out loud, first of all. Let's say it out loud. Come on, let's do it. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Now, what I'm going to talk about for a little bit here, I'm almost beyond the point where I like to have to talk about it because I'm so tired of having to deal with it. I'm frustrated about having to deal with it. But it's such a false concept about God that I have to present it to you and show you that if you would just open the Bible up and read it without religious glasses on, you'll see that God has done his part. But it's our decision whether we'll receive what he's done for us. For instance, we were watching a program, I guess it was last night, we were watching a program, and one of the things that happened on this program was a lady told a little girl, it's all going to work out the way it's supposed to. That is filthy, rotten, stinking garbage. That is filthy, rotten, stinking thinking. That's the kind of thinking that came into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and robbed it of its power. People that are sitting in pews, sitting in seats, and thinking that it's going to be the way God wants it or the way it's supposed to be. It'll only be the way God wants it and the way it's supposed to be if you'll let him do it. And it's hard for me not to get a little bit off balance. Because it has destroyed the church. That's why the church has got a bunch of sick people in it and broke people in it and depressed people in it. Because they think that's the way it was supposed to be. It wasn't supposed to be that way. Light has come into the world. Jesus Christ has come. He's brought life and health and peace and joy and love, but you got to receive it. And if you don't receive it, it won't work for you. And so that's the doctrine that came into the church. And when I became a Christian, when I became a child of God, when I became a Bible teacher, I recognized that I couldn't help people until I got them to understand this concept. It's doers of the word that are blessed. It's not just hearers. It's not passively waiting for the stirring of the water, like the man at the pool of Bethesda. It's not sitting around waiting for the angel to stir the water. It's standing up on your feet and rise and walk in the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you, and I swear I'm not looking for any sympathy. I'm simply pointing this out because it's the truth. What I'm telling you's run more people off than any other thing. I mean, it'd be worse than I standing up here and just speaking blasphemy and cussing at you. I mean, I can understand if you left for that. But I'm telling you, the reason why things haven't worked is because you haven't received what God's done for you. And if you don't receive it, He won't make you receive it. And that verse of Scripture right there identifies that so clearly that I don't understand why I have to fight so many people to get them to see it. See, but as many as received Him, see, it's up to you to receive Him. And then I'm going to bring up the other theological thing that crept into the church. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become. See, you got to become a child of God. Getting baptized in water or joining a church or putting $100 in an offering basket or, you know, taking food to your sick neighbor. Those are all decent things to do, but that doesn't make you a child of God. What makes you a child of God is receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Go to 1 John 5:10 real quick. These are some other verses that are real easy to memorize. And let me show you this. He who believes in the Son of God, see, he who believes in the Son of God, that means you received Him. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. How many of you can testify that you believe that the risen Christ lives and you know it because He lives in you?
Amen.
Well, you say, Pete, isn't that cool? Huh? The risen Christ. Let's say that out loud. Say it with me. Say, come on, I'm here to help y'all. Say it with me. Say,
the risen Christ
lives in me. And it says, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. Verse 11, watch this. And this is the testimony that God, everybody say, has given. Not will get, but has given. See, you don't live a good life hoping you'll get something. You receive Jesus and then you get something now. Eternal life is for today. It's for now. Without it, you don't get to go to heaven. You got to have eternal life to go to heaven, because eternal life is God's life. And you have to have a transfer from death to life. And the way you get that transfer from death to life is to receive what God did for you through Jesus. And the choice is yours. Oh, this sovereignty of God doctrine is the most demonic, devilish thing that came into the body of Christ. And I'm telling you, it makes people so mad, because it makes them understand that they have a part to play in what they get. And that's, you know what, really, really and truly, let me tell you something. That's going on in the natural world too. That's what's going on in the natural world. That's part of what's wrong with the American society now. All these people that's talking socialism and all that nonsense, all that stuff that don't work. You know, go to school and just give everybody A's or C's or whatever. No. No. No, that's not how it's supposed to work. That's wrong. And that's the reason why we got to have conservative people continue to rise up and let people know, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. You play Little League Baseball and you're good at baseball and you're one of the best players on the team, you ought to get the Most Valuable Player trophy. And if you're no good, you ought not get a trophy. But thanks for coming, and we appreciate you. And you can drink Kool-Aid with all the rest of the boys, but baseball may not be your thing. But we'll hurt people's feelings. You know what we got to do? We got to tell people the truth in love. And we got to get people motivated to get off the couch. See, I used to think that success was random, accidental. And then I found out that people that were successful did something to get successful. Oh, I mean, I'm telling you right now, what I'm telling you right now makes religious Christians mad as fire at me. They can't stand me saying this to people.
Well, you know, it's all up to God. God wanted it to be this way.
The way God wants it is for you to interact with Him through His Son so that His abundant life can flow through you. And you can start the process of kicking that rotten, stinking, lying, murdering devil in the mouth ever so often. Amen. I've had some defeats. How many of you know that? I have. But I'll tell you one thing. I've done some damage to the kingdom of darkness because I've told people the truth. And, you know, not to its fullest, but I've told people that, listen, as long as you're going to sit on a couch and wait for the moving of the water, you're not going to get anything. You got to receive what God did for you. Y'all with me? Let me finish this and let me bring up the other part of it, because the other part of it is almost as absurd. So walk away and run away from people that are telling you everything's going to be the way it's supposed to be. Run away from that. And create your own destiny with the power of God operating in your life. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. And going about doing good and helping others. This is not for self-indulgence. This is to glorify God with your life. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Verse 12, here it is again. Here it is. Here's the exclusive and the inclusive. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Boy, I tell you what, when I find a verse of Scripture that I can understand, I embrace it. And I got to believe just about anybody can catch that. Look at that. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Verse 13, sing hallelujah, these things I have written to you. Watch this now. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. They believed in the name of the Son of God because they received Him. But watch this. That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now do something for me. Leave that verse up. Let me show you something. I gave you those healing scriptures and showed you how to operate those and manifest those. See, faith is voice activated. So one of the things you got to learn is you're going to have to make it conscious decision that ever so often you got to just say this to yourself. And you may have to say it to some friends and neighbors, but you got to say, you know what? I have eternal life. Say that with me. I have eternal life. You can look in a mirror and say it. I have eternal life. I know that I have eternal life. Why do I know I have eternal life? Because I believed in the name of the Son of God, and I may continue to believe in that name. All right, let's go back to verse 12, and then let me tell you the other dynamic that I've had to deal with. So, verse 12, John 1, 12, God does His part, and oh, what a part it was. Jesus left heaven and became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have to receive what He did for us. Everybody cool with that? Yes. Now here's the most simplest thing of all. How are you going to receive something you don't know about? And I'll tell you the other doctrine that's in the church that is absolutely absurd. And that is the doctrine that it's all pre-selected and pre-ordained by God. And it's just up to Him who gets to be saved. And all we need to do is stay in a prayer closet somewhere and just pray. People don't get saved by praying. People get saved by hearing. Francis, am I telling the truth? Write that down in the front of your Bible if you need to. People don't get saved by praying. They get saved by hearing. What do they need to hear? They need to hear about Jesus. Romans 10:17, classic verse of Scripture that needs to be learned. And you know, these verses I'm giving you, they're not real hard verses to get memorized. I don't know, the Lord seems to keep impressing me to say that to you, because
Man, you live in a lost world, and if you hang around doubt peddling churches, the doubt peddling church is never going to tell you this. They're going to talk about we need to pray more. You don't need to pray more. Now listen, don't misunderstand about prayer. Prayer is important in your own personal individual life, and there are certain things that you have to pray about, but praying relative to what God wants to see happen to people is not what you need to do. We already know what God wants to see happen to people. What God is looking for is people that have the courage to go tell people what God has done. All four of the gospel writers, all four of them, basically quote the same truth that Jesus shared with them, and that is, the harvest is ripe. The fields are ripe. The people are there. Pray the Lord of the harvest to save them? No. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field. Because the only way you're going to be able to receive the Son of God is if somebody tells you about Him. And that's the reason why we got up this morning and we do what we do. So you can hear it and so people on the radio and on the internet can hear it. So then, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now that's the verse of Scripture that's pretty plain. But really, if you pick it up around verse 14, watch what he says. Watch what he says in verse 14. Everybody listening? Everybody tracking? Look what it says. No, Romans 14, that chapter, verse 14. Listen, let's go up, pick it up at verse 13, and let's stay here and live here. I want you to get the point. For whoever calls, again, let's stay with our theme. Is Christianity exclusive? By the way, the answer to both these questions are yes. Because I don't want y'all to give me the wrong answer, and it just gets me where I'll come and get Linda in a headlock. Is Christianity exclusive? But is it also inclusive? Are you a whoever? Have you met anybody that's not a whoever? Everybody's a whoever. I'm whoever. Whoever. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Or shall receive eternal life. Right, Pete?
Right.
Have you called on His name?
Absolutely.
Are you saved?
I am.
Praise God. Do you need to hold fast to that confession? If you live in a lost world like we live in, every now and then, do you have to just kind of remind yourself, you know, I am saved. I just sure didn't act like it yesterday, but I am saved. I'm just, you know, using examples. Even though I didn't act like it yesterday, but I am saved. Because I called on the name of the Lord. Everybody cool? Now watch this. Now watch how simple this is, and this is what blows my mind. And again, this illustrates to me that people aren't reading the Bible for themselves. Or if they are reading the Bible for themselves, all they hear is some doubt peddler explaining to them what that verse meant. When it speaks for itself. Verse 14. Watch this. This is so simple. Verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Now listen. Here it is. Here's my point. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Go tell it on the mountain. Oh, there's nothing that frustrates me more than to hear these people talk about that the thing America needs is prayer. Oh, that's seeing people. Boy, I tell you what now. See people like, Mark, God, turn him off. That's Antichrist. That's false. No. America doesn't need prayer. America needs preaching. America needs our young people to know the truth, that you were created a boy and you were created a girl, and that's the way God made you, and that's the way you are. I'm just using that for an example. Pray for them. No, don't pray for them. Tell them the truth. Speak the truth in love. Kick them demonic people out of our school system in Jesus' holy, glorious, mighty name. Can I get an amen?
How am I going to know about Jesus if nobody tells me? I mean, I've actually got family members that have bought into this lie, and they don't have an evangelical spirit anymore. They're leaving it all up to God as they sit on the couch and eat bonbons. Doesn't work that way. How shall they hear without preacher? See, I do need to say that what I'm telling you personally, I mean, I fall short in the area of a personal prayer life. So if I use me, maybe it'll help you. I fall short in the area of a personal prayer life in that every day you should get up and magnify and honor God and get acquainted and stay connected to Him through prayer and confession of faith. But as far as seeing lives changed, it only comes through knowledge of God's Word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith.
Amen.
And you see what it really comes down to. Listen to me very carefully. I know what I'm talking about. Most people that talk the way they're talking is because they don't want to deal with the persecution and the abuse that comes with telling people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because guess what? Guess what? And I don't have time to go there, but I can promise you it's in there. I think it's Acts 13, but I know it's in that area and I may have to get it later. But guess what? Paul was a preacher of the gospel. Faith came when he preached. But guess what it says? Some believed what he had to say and some didn't. Guess what? When Jesus was on the earth, the Word of God manifested in the flesh. Some believed what He said, some didn't. Do you get the theme? The theme is not, the variable's not God. God's the same. God's constant. The truth lives forevermore. The truth is manifested for all of eternity. The variable is the people. I call heaven and earth to record today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life so that you and your children shall live. It's absolutely, I tell you, I don't know if we picked this word up somewhere. It's absolutely, the Christian religious church has become bizarro world. It's unrecognizable. What it needs is a cleansing and a washing of the water of the Word, and it needs to get its mind renewed to these simple, fundamental truths that Jesus came, that He lived, that He died. He lived a perfect, sinless, miraculous life, that He died and suffered a horrible, horrible, terrible death, but that He rose from the dead on the third day, so that we could have everlasting life. And it's up to us to go tell that to people. And he that believeth and is saved, and he that believeth not is condemned. That's what it is. That's it. That's the message. And then if you've received it, if you've believed it, then what I'm supposed to tell you is what you have in Christ. And what you know that's on the inside of you, and the way you're going to learn what you have in Christ is by hearing about it, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Oh, man, I'm telling you. I believe that days are coming upon us where people are going to rise up and recognize this. And I think sometimes what happens is the devil overplays his hand. And I think that's what's happened to the United States of America. And I believe that there are going to be a vast array of people rise up and begin to take back what the devil took from us. And the way we're going to get it back is by telling people the truth in love. And be willing to deal with the persecution and the tribulation that goes with that. How shall they hear without a preacher? What's verse 15 say, Jordan? What's verse 15? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Let's stand up, everybody. I'm going to finish with this. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those. Listen, see that word, what, you know, that reminds me of the Flintstones. Through the courtesy of Fred's 2 feet. Huh? How beautiful are the feet. You know what that's a picture of? You're standing up. See? You don't use your feet much when you're sitting down, do you? Do you use your feet much when you're sitting down? You use your feet when you're standing up because you got to have your feet to go. How beautiful are the feet of those who go. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of... Well, that's a whole nother sermon, isn't it? God's going to get you. No, no, no. The devil's going to get you. God wants to save you. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And then finally, verse 17. Verse 17. Say it with me, everybody. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now let me help you, and then I want to help the people that's listening to us. Have you heard the Word of God?
Yes.
Have you heard it?
Yes.
So did faith come?
Yes.
Then I want you to say this in the congregation. I want you to say this. Say, I have faith.
I have faith.
Because I've heard the Word of God.
Because I've heard the Word of God.
And I believed it.
And I believed it.
And I received it.
And I received it.
And this faith
That's in me.
Causes me. To overcome the world.
Through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Now that's for you. Now listen, if you've been listening by radio or internet, and you are thinking, man, would he quit talking so I can receive? I want to see that day. I want to see the day where people just say, quit talking, I'm ready. Just quit talking, I'm ready. But I have to talk so you can get ready. Because you can't hear, you can't believe it unless you've heard it. Amen. So you've heard it, and now you're ready to receive it. Am I correct?
Yes.
Say this with me. You've heard it, you're ready to receive it. Say it with me by radio or internet. Say this. Say,
dear God,
I believe that
Jesus Christ
became flesh and dwelt among us.
And
I am receiving him now.
As Lord
and Savior.
And
on the authority of your word.
Because I've received Jesus.
I've now become
a child of God.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now listen, man, I gotta tell you something. I know some of y'all have prayed that prayer. I know some of y'all are in a home somewhere where there's an old Bible somewhere. Get that thing dusted off. And read John chapter 1, 2. Just read John chapter 1 and just read these verses and look at them with your own eyes. And then some of you don't have a Bible. You've been brought up in a generation that's Bible-less. Oh, that's a sad statement to make, isn't it? To be brought up in a generation that's Bible-less. But if you've been brought up in that generation, go get your hands on one.
Amen.
And just open it up to the Gospel of John. And begin to read these things we're talking to you about. And then I know the Holy Spirit will quicken you and encourage you and enable you to be able to go further with the things of God. Because God is for you, with you, and in you through Jesus Christ. It's in his holy and glorious name we pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless y'all. Thank y'all for listening to that sermon this morning.